lunchtime on a Wednesday, and we got James Merrillat sitting in studio with us for a few minutes to chat all things Denver sports. Draft coming up. Nuggets and Avs getting set for the playoffs. But, James, let's actually start with the story of today. Jonte Porter.
Yeah.
You see what's going on with Michael's little brother, and he has now got a lifetime ban from the NBA for making a handful of bets, an account that started right here in Colorado. It's moronic is the word that I used. I know he's 24 years old, and I've certainly made stupid decisions at 24, but with what was on the line and a dream he's chased his entire life, he risked it all for gambling on his own team.
Yeah, and look, I'm pretty sympathetic for some of these guys, because, listen, we all do it. I love opening the app and
sure,
putting a little action on a game. So, you know, I'm not in the league, and if you're in the league, heck, if you even work for the team, you're not allowed to be in a sports book. Really, they don't want you walking through a casino. Like, they're pretty strict about it. The rules are pretty clear. So it's not as though he didn't know. But, like, when Calvin Ridley got in trouble, he was out for that year, right? He's just sitting on the sideline. He's betting on other teams. Like, all right, he's just kind of doing what we're all doing at that point. But when you're betting in games you're involved with, allegedly, betting unders, and then you're bailing out of the game a few minutes in because of a quote-unquote illness, when you're betting on your team to lose, then yeah, you got to go. There is no sympathy from me. It's the Pete Rose thing, right? Like, Pete Rose knew the rule. Pete Rose knew exactly what was going on. I'm more sympathetic to Pete Rose if he bet on the Reds to win. At least he had confidence in his team.
Right.
If he was the manager and he was betting on them to lose, which, you know, the late, great Bart Giamatti is probably the only one that knows that for sure, he and Pete. But then you can't be in the league. And I know we're all about second chances, and I know we're all about forgiveness and all the rest of stuff, but there are some things that are just cardinal sins. And when you're a professional athlete betting against your team, betting against yourself in games, the integrity of the sport falls apart if you don't ban him for life. It just does.
And also, like, he's given information to other people to bet the unders on him, which, you know, I think I was being too nice earlier.
You were, and, for sure. He definitely was.
Because I kind of felt bad for the guy.
Well, of course, you feel bad for somebody who blows such a golden opportunity in life, right? And anytime somebody makes a mistake, even something this big, you feel sympathy.
And then, no one was hurt. Like, he didn't hurt anyone.
I got to push back, though. I got no sympathy. This guy has, he has a privilege to be a professional basketball player. And you blow it by making stupid bets. I think he's displayed his ignorance.
There were people who were hurt. If you bet the overs, thinking you were legitimately betting on a guy to
go
over,
and check and see if I might have been hurt.
Then you were hurt, right? Like, if somebody's cheating, then the people that were on the opposite
whoever's
side
betting
of it,
Giante Porter's over, you know, I mean, okay.
Right. Yeah. There's, you know, 1-800 gamblers or whatever that guy probably ought to call.
Maybe two people bet that.
Yeah.
But
Jonte and his buddy.
Yeah. It also kind of falls into the category, you know, it's like, you know, when there are criminals out there and you're like, I'm not really as upset with what they did as that they were so stupid to get caught. So when the biggest bet in terms of overs and unders on the night was Jonte Porter, like, how about having a better system than that, too?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it is just kind of like you were just asking to get caught at that point. It wasn't on LeBron. It wasn't on, you know, anybody else. Steph Curry overs. They're not going to notice that, most wager was Jonte Porter unders?
That was on two times, too. That was two different nights. And both of those games, he left the game early.
It's kind of like as a parent, right? Like, when your kids do something and they get in trouble, part of you is like, I can't believe you were just so dumb to get caught. Right?
Exactly.
Like, I did stuff. You did stuff.
Right.
I expect them to do stuff. Just don't be a dumb criminal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's going on here.
Yeah, just really, really bad. And he's paying the price. I think we'll all be really foolish to think that this is going to be the last guy that gets busted doing something like this.
If he wanted to be smart about it, he could have just bet his brother with under on assists.
Oh, wow. Nice. Oh, look at you. Now, speaking of his brother,
that was good.
Yeah, got a tip of the cap there.
Thank you, James.
Speaking of his brother, how does this impact him? Does it at all? Could it impact? I mean, we're heading into the playoffs. And then the other thing is, it said he bet millions of dollars in 3 years.
Yeah.
Where is he getting millions of dollars to gamble. That's where my mind goes. So what your just thoughts on how this impacts Michael Porter
Jr.? Well, it depends. We don't know exactly how it all connects. Because, yeah, you hear millions of dollars. It's a little bit like the Shohei Ohtani thing, right? Of like, well, where did the interpreter get all the money? We know where he got all the money to gamble. You know, if he was taking the money from his brother and his brother didn't know, that could certainly get into your mind, right? That's the Dane Cook thing.
Oh, that's right.
If he's taking money from his brother and his brother did know, then you're worried about like, oh my gosh, am I going to get caught up in this? And I got a $100 million contract to lose if I get banned. I'm not saying there's any allegations of that. I'm just saying how could it impact somebody's mind and impact them mentally? And even if he had no connection to it at all, you're still sympathetic for your brother who just had something terrible happen to him. It's the second time something terrible has happened to somebody in that family. Both of which were self-induced. This one, obviously, in my mind, less severe. There was, you know, you know, it doesn't even come into the same category, but it's still, it impacts people's lives when somebody that you care about, that's going to be on your mind. It's going to. So maybe, hopefully it's just one of those things when you get on the basketball floor, it allows you to just totally escape from all that kind of stuff. And that's the way MPJ deals with it. But it's not a good thing. It doesn't help at all.
It is the Lakers. We now know that with their win yesterday over the Pelicans. I'm all for it. I love this. I want the Lakers here. I want the national attention. I want to roast their fan base. And I think the Nuggets are going to dominate this series. How do you feel?
I think you're probably right, but I'm a little worried about, boy, y'all spent a lot of time talking trash up on the stairs at the city and county building.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Buckle
up. Right? Yeah. So, you know, I'm not a big trash talk guy, but if you're going to talk it, you better back it up. And if they don't back it up, I'm rooting for the Nuggets. I'm a lifelong Nuggets fan, but there is a part of me that's just going to be like, okay, Mike Malone, what's your answer now? Mm-hmm. Right? So I think we're going to find out both with the Nuggets and with the Avs. Did Jared Bednar and Michael Malone ride the coattails of great players to one championship, or are they integral parts of them getting multiple? Because if you look at it, and I wrote about this on Monday, Jokic is going to win the MVP. He'll be the ninth person to win three MVPs or more. The most forgettable guy on that list is Moses Malone. Why? Because he won one championship. The rest of them, LeBron, Michael, Kobe, Wilt Chamberlain, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, if their head coach had only won one championship, they would have been fired. Right? If you had Larry Bird in Boston, if Casey Jones only won one title, they would have bounced him.
Yeah, you're right.
If Pat Riley, we all watched Showtime on HBO, if Pat Riley hadn't won titles with Magic Johnson, he's getting fired. So why is it preposterous when I bring that up?
Well, it's not like he's going to get fired. If they don't win the championship this year, he's not getting fired.
No, but if they lose this round,
what do these teams, both teams, Avs and the Nuggets, because you wrote about Bednar and Michael Malone, what do they have to do to say, okay, good job? I mean, do they have to win it all? Do they have to get to the finals? Do they have to get, what do you need to see from those coaches to say, you know, to give them a pat on the back?
What I want to see, like I look at the Tampa Bay Lightning the last 9 years, two cup titles, two Stanley Cup final appearances where they lost, and two Eastern Conference final appearances where they lost. So 6 of the 9 years, they were knocking on the door. You're not going to win it every year. You know, injuries come into play, bad bounces, whatever. The Nuggets and Avs, other than the years they won it, and I don't count the bubble because you ain't coming back from 2-3-1 deficits if you have to go on the road. Other than the 2 years they won it, which were great, and those are big exceptions, but other than that, they weren't close. So this year, they got to get close. Well, we're all sitting here and saying, they lost in the Western Conference Finals in 6 or 7. But, man, it took, I guess it wouldn't be Anthony Edwards because it wouldn't be the Timberwolves. SGA, man, that guy hit two shots at the buzzer to beat him. He went all Dame Lillard with the Blazers against the Nuggets, and they got bounced. Okay, you get swept in the second round like they did by the Suns a couple of years ago? We should all be asking questions. That's embarrassing. When you have the best starting five in basketball, and look, last year he did a really good job of pushing the right buttons and getting his team to kind of have the us against the world attitude. But let's face it, in 20 games, he played the same 8-man rotation every game. He kind of just wheeled the balls out and said, go for it,
guys. That's not, but stop.
He did.
Well, what do you want to do this year? I mean, that's what you're going to do.
You're going to have to make an adjustment if you actually fall behind in a series. If you have to go on the road in the Western Conference Finals and you're down 0-2 coming back here against the Thunder, I don't think that's going to happen. But if you do, you're going to have to change something.
I think if you're the Nuggets, I want to give you a little pushback there because, and I want to let you finish also, but I think if you're the Nuggets, like, no, you're not going to make many adjustments. Like, will you make certain adjustments defensively? Maybe what? But your lineup's going to be your lineup. I mean, you're going to have your top eight guys, and that's pretty much going to be it.
Okay, but here's my point with Malone. And look, there's something to be said for winning with a really good roster. Dell Harris couldn't win with Shaq and Kobe. Yeah. Phil Jackson did, right? So not everybody can do it. So to some extent, just being smart enough to get the heck out of the way, is you deserve some credit for that. But Michael Malone has never won a series where he didn't have home court advantage and have the better roster. Who's he ever outcoached?
I mean, Eric Spoelstra in the finals.
Eric Spoelstra had the 8 seed.
That's not coach's fault.
But he didn't outcoach Eric Spoelstra. Eric Spoelstra had no business being there with that roster at that point. It was Jimmy Butler on one leg and a bunch of dudes who wouldn't play for the
that
Nuggets.
Looked like us.
He didn't outcoach
Duncan Robinson. And Hero didn't even play.
Right.
Yeah.
He didn't outcoach the Lakers coach.
Bam's good. But
our roster was better than Miami by far.
I mean, Darvin Ham, they were a play-in team. They got to the Western Conference Finals. Like, they had no business being there. Monty Williams, maybe. Monty got fired after
I'm
that.
I'm not a big Monty guy, so I wouldn't give you pushback
but
on
that.
But that
series, I mean, to some extent, it was when Chris Paul got hurt. Was it game five?
Mm-hmm.
When he got hurt in game five, who knows how that goes? And then game six was a rout down in Phoenix. So, you know, again, I gave him credit. Some coaches just can't leave well enough alone, and they over-tinker, and they overthink it, and he didn't. And he deserves credit for that. But Eric Spoelstra last year getting the Heat to the finals,
yeah, that was
that's
amazing.
A great coaching job. Darvin Ham getting the Lakers to the Western Conference Finals, that's a great coaching job. I want to see, you know what, if Michael Malone, if they beat Boston in the NBA Finals, because they'll have to start on the road, they won't probably have the better roster. I mean, it's pretty close.
Yeah.
Then it's like, hey, that was a great coaching job.
Okay.
Last year was you didn't mess it up.
Yeah. But I think you got to give credit for not messing
it up. I do.
It doesn't sound like it.
So I'm giving a lot of credit.
You're giving a lot of credit to the roster and like, oh, they got lucky and they played inferior teams with inferior coaches. And I think at a certain point, you gotta give him some love there by what he was able to do last year and take that group and cross the finish line. You play who you play.
I'm with you. Just in terms of, you know, I hear all these people telling me that Michael Malone's a great head coach. I just don't buy that yet. Doesn't mean
How many championships does he need? I mean,
More than one. And you gotta be knocking on the door. If they get to the end of the Nikola Jokic era with one title and one NBA Finals appearance, that's a miss.
I agree with you on that. I think that's spot on that.
And we're probably halfway through his prime here, right? Maybe a little over?
Halfway.
Okay, so I'm just saying we don't want to get to the end of Nathan MacKinnon and say they got to one Stanley Cup final. They hoisted the cup once with
You're
the
right
guy who's
that.
Arguably the best player in the history of the franchise. He's in the conversation with Joe Sakic. Then you would look back and say, man, maybe they didn't have the right guy at the helm. I'm just trying to be ahead of the curve here, fellas.
Let me ask you a Broncos question because I know you got to get rolling here. But we kicked this around earlier with Cortland not being at camp, the rumors of PS2, you know, maybe being a commodity in draft night. I floated the idea that you call the Arizona Cardinals, you offer Cortland Sutton, Patrick Surtain, and your 12th pick to move up for 4. What would you say if you're the Cardinals?
Yes.
Okay.
I would say yes, because if I'm the Cardinals, then I'm adding Cortland. I already got Kyler Murray.
Mm-hmm.
At 12, I don't know if they're taking Brock Bowers. They drafted Trey McBride pretty high. But, you know, theoretically, you're adding Cortland on the outside. You're drafting a great tight end or a right tackle or something else that you need to build around your young quarterback. Yeah, and you're adding a great defensive player. I would do that. And if I'm the Broncos, I would do that too.
Yeah, and I think that actually gets them in front of Minnesota. If Arizona's about being a competitive now, then that gives you more of a chance to be competitive than Minnesota's 2 picks that you're unsure of what they'll be.
Because everybody has the Cardinals taking a receiver, Marvin Harris Jr.
Yeah.
Marvin Harrison Jr. At 4. I would guess, and it depends on the mock you look at, but I would guess you'd get one of those top 3 guys at 12 if you let the Broncos in front of you. Because there's 4 quarterbacks going, there's 7 other picks. Are all 3 of those receivers going to go in those 7? Maybe. But if you really want to get one of those guys, then you probably look at it and say, yeah, I could trade down to 12 and still get one of the 3.
Okay, and you'd still be in a good spot there, right?
Yeah.
And you pick up a veteran receiver and then one of the best cornerbacks in the game. So What do you think the Broncos will do in the draft? And what do you want the Broncos to do in the draft, especially in the first round? Quarterback, no quarterback, where you at?
I'm glad you asked, Stoke. What do I think they're going to do? I think they're going to push all their chips in and trade up and take J.J. McCarthy, and they're going to rue the day that they ever did it.
Okay.
What do I want them to do? I want them to stay at 12, draft Brock Bowers, move to wherever you have to get back into the end of the first round, late second, wherever Michael Penix Jr. is going to fall, and walk out of the draft with those two guys.
What if Bowers is not available at 12?
Well, then do you look, did one of those receivers fall? You know, to me, I think they need to add skill position guys. They need to add playmakers. They need to add guys that, I just think back to watching the Lions play the Broncos last year, and it was just speed everywhere, and Denver couldn't keep up. Broncos don't have any of that. Yeah. They didn't have it at wide receiver. They certainly don't have it at tight end. They're in the running, in the backfield, they don't have it. They got to add, to use a VJ term, they got to add some juice. They got no juice. So I think if they don't do that and add some sort of explosiveness, I think it's a miss. That's what I want them to do. What I really want them to do is still have three playing quarterback and add some juice. But
that ship has
sailed.
Yeah, it did a long time ago. Let's move on.
You see your Steelers have the, according to Warren Sharp, the toughest schedule in 2024.
I don't think they're worried about it.
Oh, they're not?
No. They're not. Well, I should say we're not worried about
it. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How many games does Russ start for the Pittsburgh Steelers because of...
Counting the playoffs?
Because, yep. Exactly. Because of ineffectiveness / injury.
I think
over under 10.
I think he starts 19, maybe 20.
Oh, wow.
No, we're not talking about the preseason.
So they'll lose.
Preseason doesn't count.
I think they'll lose in the divisional round. I'm not delusional.
Oh, right.
I think they'll lose in the divisional round. There's a chance they're playing in the AFC title game, which would be a ton of fun. I'll get a lot of mileage out of that jersey.
Oh, wow. Wow.
James, it's always great to see you. Check in with you.
Thanks, we'll talk
to you next week.
See you, fellas.
All right, James Merrill at DenverSports.com joining us right there. All right, real quick, I did get an update on Zion. During the break, I saw that.
Hammy.
He's out for Friday's game.
Yeah, hammy. So, do you feel bad for talking smack about Zion now? Like, I can't believe he didn't come in. Kenny Smith was like, you know, they were going to have to cart me off of that court. I would have been back in the game. I mean, the guy pops his hamstring. So, like, you can be down on Zion for being injury prone, but, like,
it's all right. Like, okay, I'll do that then.
Right. You can do that, but you need to apologize. Also, for calling out his toughness.
Yeah. Zion, I'd like to apologize for you not being in basketball shape.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that you have to do that to yourself about every 4 months.
Yeah, that's a bummer for him because he was playing, you know.
He had 40 points.
Right, he was playing really good. And now, you know, the finale here without Zion, I don't, you know, Ingram and McCollum and Sacramento looked good last night. They looked good.
I didn't like that they were all like, it felt like Sacramento Kings fans felt like they just won the championship. Like, hey, you guys still have to win a game before you're actually in the playoffs.
Why are you mad because people are excited to win a game?
Well, they were just too happy.
What?
Is that not a thing? Can you not be too happy?
No, like
they were too happy for something that doesn't. That their happiness didn't equal the result.
Players are fans.
Fans.
No. What?
Maybe players too. Actually,
right. But I didn't like
how happy Sabonis was after.
So fans, they pay a lot of money to go to the game.
Sure.
They want to be entertained. They want to have fun. You win. All right, you're excited because our season's not over. We got another game. And we got a chance to make it into the big boy playoffs. And how much fun would this be? Fans are going to be, like, they should be fired up. Now, players, I don't know if you're running around popping bottles in the locker room.
Well, they're not the Lakers.
Right. There's no banner going up, right? They're, like you said, they're not the Lakers. But, like, you're happy. Like, good job. You know, we just knocked off, we might have ended that dynasty. There in Golden State. And so, like, I think you're happy, but you know you didn't accomplish anything. But fans, yeah, they ought to celebrate. You know, they're the ones that sacrifice their time, their money, to go to these games to be entertained and have fun.
Yeah.
Like, you can't be down on the fans for being excited.
I was a little down on them, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Still down on them.
Just like, hey.
What were the players doing?
Well, De'Aaron Fox actually had the interview and was like, hey, we're not done yet. Sabonis... He was the guy that was lighting the beam, you know, about what they do out there with lighting the beam, and he was really I don't know. I just...
Well, that's in front of the fans, right?
Oh, so he was cheesing it up for the fans.
Well, yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I guess
that might be true. You might be right about that.
But yeah, I think you're being the old guy get off my lawn thing here.
I'm yelling at a cloud now.
Yeah, this is
dang it.
This is fun, right? This is it's quote unquote playoffs, play-in games, and your season's on the line.
Yeah.
So to think that you're just gonna like, oh yeah, boom, you know, high five. I think as a player, you don't want to get overexcited about it, but as a fan, yeah, you love it, man. Come on.
If they go down and lose to New Orleans,
uh-huh.
But you knocked off the Warriors and you might have ended that dynasty,
yeah.
You still feel good about being a Sacramento Kings fan?
Well, no, I'm disappointed.
Okay.
But I'm not going to think about that last night.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying, yeah.
Why am I going to think about negative stuff that's going to go down in two nights, a possibility that we lose when we just beat Golden State and Steph, and like, how cool is that? That's because that's a rivalry. They're like 100 miles apart,
and they beat them on their home court last year in Game 7.
Right, so that's a big time rivalry. Like, I don't care if we ever beat the Patriots. Like when it was the first game of the season, eighth game of the season, preseason. Like, that's, I love that, and the fans love that, right? Because it's the Patriots. Same thing with Golden State. And so you just enjoy the moment, man.
Okay.
Come on, Josh. Man, you're just like, whoo, you're on edge today. You don't want anybody to have any fun anymore.
If I were a Pelicans fan, if I were one of the 3,000 Pelican fans that are going to be at this game on Friday, they were doing na-na-na-na, goodbye to the Warriors, I'd definitely have that queued up in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, get it ready. How many fans show up?
I mean, it's a big game.
It's in New Orleans?
It's in New Orleans.
That's right, because they were
the lower seed.
Yeah.
Season on the line, but no Zion. Dude, I bet you they get at least 6,000-7,000 people in there. What about you?
Unbelievable. I mean, like, if they have empty seats against the Lakers,
right,
in that game, no telling what it looks like against Sacramento. It's a bad look.
If tickets are $12 and I can find a decent flight, I might just go and boo the Kings.
There you go.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, you can fly. You can find cheap flights straight into New Orleans from here.
Yeah, that's right.
Direct flights.
But I have Rockies tickets on Friday.
Oh, what are you going to do with those? Are you going to the mountains or are you going to go to the Rockies game?
Kelsey has voted upon the mountains.
She did.
We'll be in the mountains is what I'm assuming.
Okay. What are you going to do with your tickets? Kisner,
you back in?
You want the ticket?
I got birthday dinner.
Oh. Oh, it's his birthday weekend.
Oh, that's right. You
we forgot.
Do the Rockies
we already again, told him happy birthday yesterday.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. No, that don't count.
You want
us to call you pizza today?
I want a FaceTime from Stokely on my birthday.
Wow.
What day is your birthday?
Saturday.
Okay.
You're going to remember?
No, absolutely not.
I'll try to text you. All right, when we get back, I want to talk.
I think I got it in my phone.
You do?
Let me check real quick.
It's, like his birthday, Zabe?
Yeah.
It's 420. It's not that hard.
His birthday's on 420.
Look at that.
Oh, he does.
Kisner B-Day.
Dude.
Look at that.
I wonder if two of my best friends will even text me. I don't know. I haven't talked to them in months, so.
Really?
We'll see who's the real friend.
That good of friends if you haven't talked to them in months.
I don't know about best.
I haven't talked to them in a couple years, right. But like, man, I hope my best friends remember.
Listen, the people I care about the most I haven't seen since 2014, but.
I hope they remember my birthday on Saturday.
Happy early birthday again, Kev. All right, I want to come back and talk a little bit about the Broncos and the quarterback needy teams in front of them. We're going to try to rank who needs a quarterback the most out of these QB needy teams that are looking for their answer on next Thursday night's round one of the NFL draft. That conversation is next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
All right, Stoke, we know the Broncos need a quarterback. We know the Bears, the Commanders, the Vikings, the Patriots, the Raiders, the Giants, they also may need a quarterback. I was reading around yesterday, found something on USA Today that had the quarterback needy teams ranked, basically, of who needs a quarterback the most. And their list, I thought, was interesting. And maybe we can play off some of the things we learned from Ben Volen, who we talked to earlier from the Boston Globe, as far as what the Patriots are going to do, pick or trade back with that number three pick. And what USA Today had was that Chicago was the most needy quarterback team. Washington follows the Bears. And then after that, not at pick number three, not at pick number six with the Giants, all the way down to the Broncos. USA Today says the Broncos are the third most quarterback needy team, followed by Minnesota and New England, actually in the last part of that order. And he talks about New England, almost what Ben said, like they have so many holes to fill that you can get a quarterback, but you still have 15 other things that you have to do. Might have that same conversation with the Broncos.
Exactly.
But do you see it as that? Is Denver that high up as a quarterback needy team, or is it what you just hinted at? Yeah, quarterback's one of 12 things they need to figure out.
Both.
Okay.
How about all of the above?
I like that.
Right? Yeah, we have a lot of holes to fill. That's one of about 20 that we could address, but it's at the top of the list, and we are desperate for a quarterback. We've been desperate for a quarterback for a long time, and look at our other options here, right? Stidham and DiNucci right now. That's it. Minnesota at least has Sam Darnold.
Mm-hmm.
New England has Jacoby Brissett.
I keep forgetting about him.
So I think when you look at the situation and – if you don't get a quarterback early in the draft, well, what are your backup options there? Not very appealing for the Denver Broncos when it comes to the quarterback position if they're not able to draft one early. So, yeah, I think you know, the Broncos are certainly should be very high on that list. And on top of that, yeah, got a lot of other needs also, like most of these teams do.
Yeah, there's a reason everybody's picking the top five, right?
Exactly.
Outside of the Broncos and the Vikings that are trying to get into the top five. All right, so all these teams take a quarterback, right? Let's say they all end up with a QB. And now I think it's different. I know, in fact, it's different because of coaching hires. And obviously what's happening in Washington, they're going to get a little bit more of a timeline. New England, I think, is on that same path of, like, they get more benefit of the doubt as this rolls forward. Teams like Chicago, Denver, and Minnesota, Stoke, they're not first-year coaches. It's not new ownership, the way it is up there in Washington. Is Chicago, Denver, and Minnesota, let's, for this exercise, say that Chicago gets Caleb Williams. That's going to happen. Minnesota lands a quarterback, and Denver lands a quarterback. Whoever you want to put in there is fine. Are those three teams kind of on the same timeline with this quarterback having to succeed? And then, I mean, I don't know, maybe push for a postseason here in two, three seasons. Or is it all completely different?
Well, I think every situation is different, right, and unique. And you look at, Chicago and their coach, it looked like halfway through the season he was going to be fired. They were awful. Well, then they got things headed back in the right direction. So I think he's probably on a shorter lease than a guy like Sean Payton.
Okay.
O'Connell there in Minnesota, he took him to the playoffs his rookie year as a coach 2 years ago. Last year, they were competitive, not as good, though. They lost their quarterback in Kirk Cousins. That certainly didn't help them. So I think he's probably more in the same category as a Sean Payton.
Okay.
And you look at the Chicago job, it's like you probably got to show some improvement. You got to show something. Like Caleb Williams has got to show that he is improving throughout the year and that, okay, he's the answer with this guy as a coach, or you don't wait. You don't waste time here with Caleb Williams and say, we'll give it another year and hopefully it gets better. No, he's gone. You bring in an offensive-minded head coach to try to get the most out of that guy. So I think that guy right there is probably on the shortest leash of all of these coaches because of he's been there for a couple years, and you got the first pick in the draft. You got to make it work.
Mm-hmm. I got another question with the Bears, Commanders, Broncos, Vikings, Patriots. Of this group, who makes the playoffs first?
Bears, come in. I would say I'm going to go Chicago.
Okay.
I like how they finished the year last year. They got two picks in the top 10. They did a good job in free agency. And I know they got some, they added some weapons. They added a receiver. They traded for, I can't even remember his name, to go with DJ Moore. Right. And you're probably going to draft a receiver also or an offensive lineman. So you got two premium picks, and you got a young quarterback. So I would say Chicago would be my guess.
Keenan Allen.
Yeah, Keenan Allen from the Chargers. Yes. Yeah. So I think that's a really good pickup for them. And to pair with DJ Moore, do they add another receiver? Do they go defense? They got some possibilities with those two picks. Well, they're going to pick Caleb with one. What do they do at nine? It'll be interesting to see there. What do you think?
The Bears was a team I was leaning towards, but Minnesota kind of caught my eye. And it's, you know, you talked about the division there and the Packers being the top dog, but who knows if that's sustainable or is going to last. And Minnesota's roster is, you know, they're ahead of everybody else on this list with what is in place, but they don't have the quarterback, and that's going to be a big question. So I would go Minnesota with Chicago as a, you know, right underneath them as two. So that's where we're at. How do you feel about it? Who makes the playoffs out of that list, and how would you rank the quarterback needy teams? Is Denver three for you, Broncos country behind Chicago and Washington? You can tell us at 303-713-1043. That's the RamosLaw.com text line, or over on Twitch, twitch.tv/DenverSportsCom. I saw this last night too, and I'm a game show guy.
Uh-huh.
Are you a game show watcher?
Used to be. Not anymore.
Well, you're a veteran. You're an alum of Wheel of Fortune.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's a big one for me at the household. When we sit down and eat dinner,
uh-huh,
we get through some Jeopardy. We get through some Wheel of Fortune.
I like
we
it.
We try to answer questions. We make fools of ourselves. It's a fun little bit at the house.
Yes. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Right.
Was great for a while.
Yeah.
Deal or No Deal.
Oh, that's
with
a good one.
Howie.
Yeah.
That was Howie, right? That was really good for a while. So, yeah.
I mean, you can't go wrong with classics like Family Feud.
Family Feud.
It's always great.
Yes.
Well, there is
Price is Right.
Oh, The Price is Right.
Come on.
There's nothing better than being sick sucks, but like stay home from school and watching The Price is Right
all
day.
Nothing better.
Roll right into Days of Our Lives and figure out why my mom cries every afternoon.
There you go.
It was great, dude.
Perfect.
There's a new one coming out. You remember Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, right?
Yeah.
Actually, I used to do a fun radio bit where the producers would ask us questions from fifth grade levels, and we'd make complete fools of ourselves.
Oh, yeah. No.
I didn't think you'd want to do that today, so
no.
I didn't send anything to Kev.
Oh, good. Yeah, let's not do that today. But tomorrow.
But tomorrow. That's right. We'll study tonight. I always did like Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader's theme song, which was simply Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, because there's going to be a quiz later.
Mm.
That's pretty solid. Well, that's coming back, sort of.
Oh.
On Amazon Prime soon, you will be able to watch the show, Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity? It's obviously a spinoff of Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, and it's hosted by Travis Kelce. You
into
this?
No.
Not at all?
No, no.
Why?
Who are the celebrities going to be?
I mean, Taylor's got to be one, right?
No.
It's this girl.
No.
You don't get Travis without Taylor.
Yeah, when do they do this? When do they film it? Was it filmed before they started dating? Was it filmed in the off-season?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know.
So, but no, Taylor's not going to be on there. Absolutely not.
To help out her boo?
Why would she do that? No. 0% chance she's on that.
I think
this is like probably B, C-list celebrities.
Oh, like Jackson Mahomes?
No, he's an F celebrity, bro.
Okay.
Come on. Yeah, so I don't know who would be on here. No, I think it's probably going to be
Andy Reid?
Maybe get Andy on there. But no, I don't think Andy's not going to be on there. Stop. He doesn't have to be a chief or a girlfriend of Travis. Give me somebody else.
Jason. His brother. Yeah.
There you go. Maybe
okay.
Jason is on
okay.
it. There, that's the first competent, good guess that you've had. But to me, it's like
Alex Smith.
There you go again. Got to get another chief. I mean,
Lynn Dawson.
There we go. Is Hank Stram still alive? Can we get Hank Stram on there? I just no. This doesn't do anything for me. I think it's going to be corny and silly, and I'm not wasting my time on that.
Okay.
So I'm out on that. You probably are all over
in.
It. I knew it.
Can't wait.
Makes
dude.
Sense. Yep.
I cannot wait for this.
Well,
to
then
start.
You can give us a report.
I will.
Okay.
I will.
When is it coming out? Do we know?
This summer, at some point on Amazon Prime.
Okay. All right.
So I'm excited for it.
You are excited.
I'm fired
Ken
up.
Kisner, will you be watching this?
Oh yeah.
No,
you want to have like movie night, like show night.
Yeah,
okay.
That's right.
Oh, so it's like
popcorn
like,
and stuff,
like the wives would do, like on The Bachelor and stuff.
Yeah,
y'all can have the.
We'll have Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity night.
Perfect. That's
going to be awesome.
Yeah.
All right, Kev.
Perfect for
we're
you.
In.
We're
in. Drew, you went in on this action?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
This sounds worse than that golf song that y'all are obsessed with.
Oh my! That's the only thing that me and Drew agree on.
Right. Like ever in the history of Drew and Stokely.
Exactly. This is it right there. First time.
All right, let's hit a timeout. You interested in it? out there. Will you watch? Tell us on the RamosLaw.com text line. Want to talk about the Rockies? Yeah, they took another L last night. They will lose their sixth straight series to open up the season, and they're now on pace to be one of the worst teams, maybe the worst team in Major League Baseball history. But they can't be that bad, can they? We'll answer that next.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station. 104.1.
You better know this.
I like it.
You got to get on this.
I like it.
Long live Cowgirls.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm into it.
I was rocking this on the course yesterday.
Oh, you were?
Oh, I got this on the, this is a new updated 2024 golf playlist.
Oh.
And this is on it.
Okay.
This is on it.
How'd you play yesterday? It was windy, right?
Oh, it was warm, which was nice. Very, very windy. Mm. Very, very windy. Played awful on the front. I fell into a bunker. It was just, like, I was playing so bad. And we had a couple on the eighth hole. It was really windy, playing awful, and hit the ball in a bunker, had a terrible lie in the bunker, tried to hack it out, went in the water, scolded into the water, right? And so I was like, all right, this is brutal. I think that was my fourth double bogey in a row. So I was playing bad, and I was like, this is brutal. So I get the rake, I'm raking the bunker, and it's right against the edge on a slope, with like the grass being like all mowed down.
Okay.
And when I did it and I went to try to step back, I just slipped. My feet came out from under me. Wham! Laying flat on my back in the bunker.
I would have loved to see that.
I know. And I'm like, oh my, did I really just do that? And then my first thought is, I hope no one has their phone on them right now, which no one did, thank goodness. But yeah, so played better on the back, but it was good. It was good. Tough day, windy.
Good. Well, you're almost done. We've almost paid all of our taxes for
summer. That's right. That's right.
It's coming up here sooner rather than later. All right. Do you want to chat about the Rockies real fast? That
they're still playing baseball?
They are.
Oh, wow.
And you know what, dude? I didn't give them a full amount of my attention last night. I had other stuff going on, and I wanted to watch basketball. Basketball is more fun than baseball to me, and certainly Rockies baseball. But the moment I turned it on, who was on first base? It was Montero last night. He's at the plate and has a nice hit. Gets over the head of an outfielder, bounces off the wall. And then I'm like, okay, Montero, that's a double. That's probably a stand-up double, right?
Yeah.
And then as the ball flies over the outfielder's head, camera cuts back to Montero and he's rounding first. And I mean, it might as well have been Kevin running a 50-yard
dash. Oh, no.
The dude is just like, I mean, I'm like, hey, are you going to put forth some effort here, my man? Because it is a nice hit, but the guy still got a decent arm and he played it off one hop on the wall and then gunned his ass down at second base.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was like a stand-up double if he would just get on his horse for a second.
That's what you tuned into.
That's right there. Right when I turned it on.
You can't
that's
make
what
that
happened,
up.
Dude.
You can't make that up. apparently they took another loss.
They did. They were actually really bad last night. They're now 4-14. It is their worst start in franchise history. I hope my math is right on this. I did it a few times, but that doesn't mean it's right. But if they're going to win, four out of every 18 games. So that puts them on pace to lose 126 games. That puts them on pace to only win 36 games. And in the history of baseball in the modern era, which is since 1901, there's only been four teams in baseball that has not won 40 games. And that's exactly where the Rockies are on pace for. The 1904 Washington Senators didn't do it.
Oh, wow.
The 1916 Philadelphia Athletics, and then that same team again in 1919, didn't get to 40 wins. And the Boston Braves back in 1935 didn't get to 40 wins. So teams in 1904, 1916, 1919, and then 1935 is who the Rockies are on pace with.
They got to get to 40. They got to get to 40. They have to, right?
We thought that 60 was the given number.
Right.
And now here we are, 18 games in, talking about 40.
On pace for 40. yeah, it's very depressing. I'm just glad that I tapped out of my bet that I had with Bearcat Gym.
Smart play.
Right? And four games in?
Mm-hmm.
I tapped out?
Yeah.
And so Zach is still not doing it.
He's still in?
He's still in. He didn't tap out. I told him he should. He's hard-headed, didn't listen. And then he was running his mouth last week about it. And all of a sudden, the cash out on a $200 bet, I cashed out for $35
nice
a week into the season.
Yeah.
Right? Knew it. Knew it was a bad bet. Zach's cash out $100 plus.
There you go, Bearcat. That's what it should be.
Right, exactly. And he's not taking it. You know why he said he's not taking it?
Why?
Because they got a 10-game home stand coming up. And he thinks they're going to go on a run here on the home stand. He's delusional. He is absolutely delusional.
What does he do in the mornings?
I don't know, man. I don't know. So that's what he's holding out hope for. It's another series loss for the Rockies, yep, obviously, because they've lost the two in a row to the Phillies. So that would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 to start the season. And then you will be coming back home. You got 3 versus Seattle. 4 versus San Diego, then 2 versus Houston. I'm just assuming that San Diego is a decent team this year. Seattle was supposed to be good. Houston, I mean, so I don't know.
Houston and Seattle are both struggling a little bit right now, but not like Rockies struggle.
Right, but the Rockies are the get-right team.
Yeah.
So we're struggling until we play the Rockies, yeah, and now we're playing really well. So we'll see what it looks like, though. But if they don't go on a heater there at home, then it's now you start looking at, you know, will they get to 40 wins? Mm-hmm. Will they get to 40? Like, it's bad. It's really, really bad. You know, last night they didn't score a run. They got shut out 5-0. It's 7 hits, no runs. I don't know, man. It's really depressing is what it is. Ryan McMahon had a nice game. He had a couple hits. That was nice to see.
That's what he does.
That's what he does. That's right. Still no Chris Bryant.
No, and in fact, today he got put on the injured list.
Oh! I thought Bud said no.
Yeah, Bud was...
Bud told us no, he wasn't.
He told us like 3 or 4 times that he wasn't.
So what happened?
And then as of this morning, I'm looking at the email that came in 57 minutes ago from the Rockies. The Colorado Rockies have announced today that they have placed infielder/outfielder Chris Bryant on the 10-day injured list with a low back strain retroactive to April 14th. So he's out until the 24th at the minimum.
Low back strain?
Yeah, he's got that back strain. Remember, he ran into the fence trying to make a catch in the first inning.
That's what it was?
That's
and
what
then
it was.
He played a little bit.
Played
and now
3 more innings.
Right. Oh, man. I mean, running into the wall, sleeping bad, and you know, in the hotel, it's one thing or another. And it's really bad. I mean, what a bad signing. I mean, just an awful signing. The guy can't stay healthy, and even when he is healthy, he can't hit a baseball.
Right.
And that's a big problem when you're a baseball player. It's just absolutely brutal. Brutal start from the Rockies. We knew it would be bad. And it's worse than I think anybody could have expected.
It really is.
I mean, it's depressing, man. It's going to be interesting to see. When they come back for that 10-game homestand, what do the crowds look like?
Oh.
And it's still a little bit early. Yeah. The weather, we'll see. But that's what's going to be interesting to see, what the crowd looks like. And then, you know, once we get to early June, is there a big decline in attendance? Will it stay the same? What does that look like? I think you're gonna see less people showing up to the ballpark.
I think you're right.
I don't care what it looks like,
weather-wise.
Outside, how it feels. Hey, you don't put yourself through that type of misery.
No. Says the guy that has tickets for Friday's game.
Right. You're just like, I am
that guy. Real fast, too. The MLB average of strikeout rate is 22.6%. The Colorado Rockies have 7 players right now that are higher than 22.6%, led by Nolan Jones, who strikes out damn near 50%. Well, I guess not close. 40% of his time.
Wow.
So 4 out of 10 times, Nolan steps to the plate, he's striking out.
I think Drew could do better than that.
I think Drew could, too.
I mean, goodness gracious. 4 out of 10 times you're striking out? I think it's time to go on a little vacation to the minor leagues for a little bit and try to get things right. I mean, this is supposed to be our next best thing, right, Nolan Jones?
That's what
and,
they say.
That's bad. That's really bad.
Yeah, it is awful with the Rockies right now. They do have their best pitcher on the bump tonight, Ryan Feltner, so we'll see if they can get one and avoid the sweep in Philly. But I wouldn't hold my breath if I were you, baseball fans. All right, do the Lakers have a shot in round one versus the Nuggets? And did the Kings end the Warriors dynasty last night? Answers to those questions coming up next.